Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Landfill and Brock are doing all the hard work. Apparently the Raiders are too. So of course their defense would be guilty of contact tracing, being around Cleveland Farrell, since he does play on the defense. And if he tested positive, then even what I know about contact tracing, that would make them all guilty by association. Let's just hope that they all have negative tests, or the Raiders may be playing with a lot of backups coming up this week. Pino Sports back with you. One more hour to go. Marcus Washington, my man MTC with Muck, coming up at the bottom of the hour to have some more NBA talk. We keep taking your calls here this hour. Obviously, the Washington football team, your thoughts as it gets set for Cincinnati, is up for grabs. The Wall and Westbrook debate, it's been fierce over the last 24 hours since about 7 o'clock last night when make it closer to 6 when Shams Charania dropped one on us that discussions had been had with John Wall and Russell Westbrook being involved in potential trade talks. Shout out to my guy Yo-Yo Ma, and I love the best thing about working in radio is I don't have to write. And I used to write, you know, as a high school sports stringer for the Capital newspaper for years, chiding me for my use of the word irregardless. If it, at least I'm not using, as I've, you know, learned from working in this time slot, at least I'm not saying whatnot. Also tonight, if you like, look, last night some guy bet $40,000 to win $36,000. So in other words, if he cashes the ticket, he'd get back $76,000 for a $40,000 bet. Look, there are a couple teams in the MAC who stink. And all of these people that get on here, oh, this MACtion is great. Yes, when Toledo plays Western Michigan or Kent State or even Ball State, you know, those clubs are good. Ohio is reasonably decent. Eastern Michigan comes to the table competitively. But there are some dregs in the MAC. And when they play, these are bad football games, okay? So some of these weeknight games, they're there for our entertainment, but boy, they can get out of hand in a hurry. You know, Buffalo's really good. You know, Buffalo pounded Bowling Green. Bowling Green is so bad. It's unbelievable to think how bad they've gotten in such a short amount of time at Bowling Green. It seemed like yesterday, Dino Babers was there and they were winning, you know, 10 or 11 games that one season. But now they're brutal. Buffalo pounded them last night. And then there's Akron, who I think their losing streak is at 20 now after last night. Look, last week they looked competitive against Ohio. They only lost 24-10. Ohio got a late fourth quarter score to make it a two-touchdown game. So you're like, yeah, the Zips are finally turning the corner. And then last night somebody bet $40,000 to win a profit of $36,000 last night. Kent State minus 27. Well, late last night, as Kelly and I are watching the game, she goes, Dad, I'm rooting for Akron. They're 0-2. They need some support. So Akron scores, and it's 28-28 at the end of the first half. And I guarantee you, or no, I'm sorry, Kent scored literally in the last seconds to take 35-28 lead. So they were up 7 at the half. So that still meant they had a lot of work to do. And they had to figure out a way to stop Akron, for one thing, because Akron was putting up points at a level that they never do. So that person who bet that ticket had to be sweating just a smidge. But wait. They are the Akron Zips. So in the second half, Kent State started scoring at a ridiculous level. And Mr. Crum, their quarterback, was going left and right. And it wasn't anything exotic that Kent was doing in this game. So eventually, their defense caught up. And the final score ended up being Kent State 69, Akron 35. 69-35. They win by 34. Everybody takes a deep breath, relaxes, and cashes the ticket. But you can bet there were some anxious moments over the first 30 minutes of that game to see if Kent was going to cover. Now, we've got more action tonight. If you go to betql.com, Ball State, two games have come down to the final possession this season. They're 0-2 against the spread, and the over has hit in both games. Meanwhile, Northern Illinois has been outscored 89-40 over two games this season. The wide margin and point differential has led them, obviously, to go 0-2 against the spread. If you like Ball State tonight, they're a 14-point choice. Northern Illinois is plus 420. The over-under at 60. If you go to betql.co right now, you can get more corresponding information if you are going to bet on Wednesday action tonight. I wonder if somebody's going to put 40 grand down on Ball State to cover that 14 points in that one this evening. The NBA draft comes up tonight at 8 o'clock. Could there be deals in place before, during, or even after tonight with free agency starting on Friday at 6? Let's get back to the phones. PJ's in Reston. PJ, you're on 106.7 The Fan.
Hey, thanks for having me on, man. Hope everybody's doing well and, you know, staying safe and masking up, living their life, but, you know, being safe and everything. And, oh, you still there, buddy?
I'm here, waiting on you.
Okay, gotcha. So this John Wall, Russ Westbrook, possible trade. I think they're both awesome players. I personally would lean against it. The reason being is I look at when Bradley Beal's a little bit similar to James Harden. And Chris Paul would be more like a John Wall, whereas Russell Westbrook would be more of a wild kind of ball-dominant guy. And the thing is, Westbrook and John Wall are both awesome players. But the thing is, John Wall is a pure point guard. That's very rare these days. And as long as he is most of what he used to be, coming back from injury, you want to go with that guy. Because the thing with Westbrook is it worked better when Chris Paul was with Harden, because of the way they play and the percentages that Westbrook and Harden are not really the most highest percentage three-point shooters. I think it would be the same kind of problem if Westbrook and Bradley Beal were here together in D.C. And also Westbrook is a little bit older, and it's just not something you want to do. I remember when the Wizards traded Rip Hamilton for Jerry Stackhouse. They're both good players. I wouldn't say one is so much better than the other, but the difference is Rip Hamilton would play perfectly in the flow of the offense, sort of like Reggie Miller without as good of a three-point shot. Jerry Stackhouse would disrupt the offense. It would be the same thing. Russell Westbrook would not be able to play with the flow of the offense. It's just the style that he's always played. He's an amazing player, but I don't think he'll ever win a championship because of the way he plays. And he just, in the fourth quarter, he's always throwing up all these like low percentage shots and things of that nature. And also, Drew Holiday is an awesome player. I don't know what the Bucks were thinking, given three first rounders, plus I think Bledsoe for him. There was another team that gave an offer that was more of a logical offer, which of course went with the Bucks offer since they gave away the farm. But another team was offering like one decent player and one first rounder. I forget which team it was. Might have been Philly, maybe. But yeah, I don't know what the heck why the Bucks would give up that much.
Well, here's the thing. Let me ask you this. I mean, if Russell came here, who gets the ball at the end of the game? Russell or Bradley Beal?
Exactly the thing. I would lean towards Beal, but the problem is, both Westbrook and Beal are awesome players, but John Wall and Beal complement each other much, much better. John Wall also, when both were in their prime and healthy, as fast as Westbrook was, Wall was actually a little bit fast. He was the fastest player in the NBA. But as far as defense, all-around play, and just within the flow of the offense, if it's John Wall comes back, we won't have to worry about those late-game things. What we're going to see is Bradley Beal is going to get set up. Davis Bertans is going to get set up a lot nicer for those closing shots in the game. Whereas if we bring in Russell Westbrook, you're going to see alternating nights of Westbrook or Beal kind of being dominant in the fourth quarter. That's not going to win you games. The same thing happened with the Rockets, where you would see in the playoffs, one game Harden would go off, one game Westbrook. they just don't complement each other well. You never want to have two, like, high-volume, decent but not, like, elite shooters, like, on the same team. It'll never work. It's a recipe for a disaster. Also, I don't know why the 76ers would even entertain giving up Ben Simmons for James Harden. That would be crazy for Philly to do. I would much rather have Ben Simmons with his all-around game. I'm big on all-around game type players, you know.
All right, PJ, appreciate the call. Let's go to Steve in D.C. Steve, you're on 106.7 The Fan.
Yeah, how you doing, man?
I'm doing all right. Yourself?
Yeah, so I want to talk about – I'm good, thank you, by the way. Sorry about that. I want to talk about this Wall Westbrook trade. It really makes absolutely no sense. The problem is John Wall and Westbrook has very similar games, but Westbrook is a little bit more ball dominant, and at least Wall can distribute the ball. Westbrook will not fit well with Bradley Beal at all. I'm telling you, it's a recipe for disaster. What's your thoughts on it?
Steve, appreciate the call. Look, I mean, as I've said all along, you know, Scott Brooks has a relationship with Russell, coached him. You know, how Scott would handle that would be very, very interesting. To me, it would still be Bradley Beal's club. Tommy Shepard said, look, that's the way we're going to build this team. And that's probably the guy that's going to get, you know, a bulk of the shots. And Scott's job would be to communicate that to Russell. And maybe playing with a guy like Beal could make Russell a better player. The thing about it is, Russell, what's Russell really playing for? You know, he's got 3 years on a deal at 41 per. So there's no incentive there. I mean, he's already making the big cash. The East is turning into a really, really deep beast, just like the West. Now, whether they're as good as the teams in the West can be debated, but now you start looking at that line in the East with KD and Kyrie playing in Brooklyn and Milwaukee, you know, picking up a third wheel now to go with Giannis and Middleton, you know, makes them stronger. Miami's the defending champ. Boston's loaded. May even get, you know, another piece tonight that could, you know, help them in terms of depth. So there is, I mean, you got a long way to go. And the question you have to ask yourself over the next couple of years, which guy helps Bradley Beal get you to where you're trying to go? Is there a difference in enough with John Wall and Russell Westbrook to do that? The one thing with John is you're praying that good health stays with him and he stays on the court. That's the biggest thing right now as it pertains to John. Just stay on the court. Be healthy. Russell, even at age 31, gives you a guy that at least has been relatively durable and has played almost every night in the league. And that's the one big area that you've got to consider here. Tommy Shepard told you yesterday, right now, at least on the surface, the minutes, you know, you're not going to see John doing what Brad did last year. Brad would be playing 42, 43 minutes. Well, John's probably not playing over 30. So who's playing the point guard in the other 18 minutes is a question. And if he doesn't play back-to-backs, who's playing point guard on the nights where John's not playing when Russell could play all 72 maybe for you this year? So, I mean, there are plenty of things to weigh there. And then it would come to Scott Brooks to try and figure out how to get through to the players to make sure they could coexist with each other. Your thoughts, 1-800-636-1067, AAA Always On Call listener line. It's Pete on Sports with you till 6, monitoring all the NBA happenings. Chris Russell will be doing that at the top of the hour. Draft starts at 8 tonight. Washington right now scheduled to pick at number 9. They'd be making that pick for themselves or somebody else. Your thoughts right here on The Fan. We got a little while to go here. You and me till 6 o'clock. Chris Russell at the top of the hour. My man Milk Washington joining us at the bottom of the hour as we try to figure out for real. I mean, is this deal potentially going to continue to be discussed as the night goes on, and will Washington be picking for Houston at number 9? We will see. Let's go to Mike in D.C. Mike, you're on 106.7 The Fan. Hello.
Hey, good to hear you on the airways, Pete.
Thanks, Mike.
This deal's done. This deal's done. I don't know if it gets announced today. next couple days. I imagine it's contingent on something related to the draft today, but it's from what I gather, this is a culmination of a lot of issues with Wall butting heads against Beal, butting heads with Leonsis. I think the gang sign thing was just kind of the culmination of a lot of frustration over years, but this was there needs to be a change in culture, and they need to form a cult of personality around someone more like Beal. So it's a product of circumstance, but that's where we're at. Done deal.
Appreciate the call. Look, I mean, if indeed, and as we have read, and Chris Miller was on with the Junkies. You can go to our website and read the story that Chris Lingbach put together off of the interview. Certainly, clearly there's some people in the organization that, you know, allegedly were not thrilled by that, which is, and again, that's fine. That's fine. We can, you know, we can have our thoughts on that. But I go back to the point of, has John ever missed a game because of gang activity? Okay. Look, what guys do away from the court and how they do it, it doesn't – I don't think something like that, as I said earlier in the show when we talked about this, are 6,000 people suddenly going to not show up at Capital One Arena because John Wall did that? I'd forgotten about it until Chris Mills brought that up this morning, to be honest with you. So, great. Fabulous. I'm sure he's apologized. Like I said, he's given away 1,000 meals next week. Okay? He's done these types of things in the community his entire time here. That's to me even more important. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about his investment in the community. You know, I mean, he signed a max deal here, and I know, I mean, $41 million, a lot of reasons to sign here. But, you know, I mean, that's I take that kind of stuff, and if it pissed somebody off in the organization, okay, fine. Does it change, you know, how he'll play on the court? No, he's going to play his rear end off. He's going to play hard as hell to try and win games. He's missed the game for a year and a half. He's going to want to come back and show that, you know, he's ready to play again. And we've seen that through some of the videos and stuff like that. That he's working his rear end off. Now, if this deal somehow makes sense tonight, it can't be a swap head up. I understand that. But at the same time, we can't be in the let's give away three first-round picks like Milwaukee did or two first-round picks for Robert Covington like Portland did. We can't be that team because even if you get Russ and Beal together is not going to put you over the top. When you're looking at a Eastern Conference that is stacking up the way it is, it's just not. And you can't give away the potential future assets. And like I said, I don't mind if you give up a one this year because I've got a lot of questions about some of these dudes in the draft this season. You know, I mean, I just do. And where you're picking. I mean, now the one guy that you would think could be an instant difference maker, Ogunquu, has got a foot injury, and he might not even be available a month from now at the start of the season. That's a big deal. You pick at nine, that guy's got to be able to play. He's got to be able to contribute. You know, there are some other people that are available, potential lead guards. But those kids aren't going to be able to step in right away. Maybe if you have a John Wall, they can play behind him because they're going to get – I mean, there's going to be some minutes behind John. We know that. And who that player is ultimately may hold the key to this season for how well the Wizards do. Because John's going to skip some back-to-backs. They're going to manage that. John's not playing 40 minutes. So how you get him to the end of the game where he can still be on the floor at the end of the game at crunch time is going to be critical for Scott Brooks. And that player's got to be able to play. That player's got to be able to play probably a minimum of 18 minutes a night, maybe more than that at the beginning of the season. That guy's got to be able to give you 22 or 23 good minutes. And that's going to be critical for this team and how they're constituted in the East, which, as I said, the Nets were the seventh seed and decent at the end of the season last year. Now they're going to get Kevin and Kyrie. And goodness gracious, if they somehow pull Harden in, they go to the top of the class and to compete with Miami and Boston and Milwaukee. I mean, think about that. One of those teams is going to be the fourth seed in the playoffs. That's how much better the East is getting and how much deeper it's getting. So you got to hope that whichever way Tommy decides to go with this thing, and it's great that he wants to shake things up if that's the case, because we've seen the other movie. The other movie can get us to 4 or 5 in the East. We know that. But the question is, does ultimately, if you pull the trigger on a deal like that and Russell's the only piece you get coming back and you sign Davis Bertans on Friday, hopefully at 6 o'clock, is that triumvirate going to be good enough to get you into that upper crust and be competitive over a 7-game series? I don't know. That, which is why the amount of assets you give up now that prevents you from adding younger, cheaper pieces later to this team is critical as you make a deal here. Mook Washington joins us next to talk about it. He sees a lot of Wizards games in the flesh, and he'll be able to break it down for us. 1-800-636-1067. That's how he reaches on the AAA Always On Call listener line. You and me till 6 on 106.7 The Fan. Robinson Cano has violated Major League Baseball's Joint Drug Prevention and Treatment Program again. So he will be missing, and he forfeits $24 million. That's all. $24 million for violation of the league's policy. So, tough day for Robinson Cano. Not that he probably doesn't have some money in the bank, but he's going to miss out on $24 million. Time to welcome in our friend Marcus Washington, making the cut with Mook. Marcus, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Pete. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. The last 24 hours has been a buzz here in D.C. The thought that somebody of Russell Westbrook's caliber could be in discussions to be sent here by Houston. Your thoughts one way or the other. If it's Wall, how does he fit in here with Beal? And if it's Westbrook, how does that change the dynamic of this Washington club? Is it enough, as we talked about before the break, to make them any kind of a factor in what is a stacked Eastern Conference right now?
If it's Wall, he's just going to have to accept the fact that he's going to be playing a complimentary role, which I still have my doubts if he's willing to do that. It's Bradley Beal's team, and the structure of the team, honestly, has changed. Obviously, Washington has moved kind of that space and pace. So they would need Wall to penetrate and really kick out the shooters more than I know he probably wants to do, because I don't think he's really, really included in that three-point shooting arsenal that Washington would have out there. Now, if he's smart and he's 100% healthy, he could use that as an opportunity to continue to get the front of the rim. If he's 100% back from his injury and he gets his explosion back, he can finish some things. But if he is hung up on the idea of, I have to be the guy, I have to be the face of the franchise, if that's the case, unless Houston is asking for a boatload of stuff, I would walk the trade paperwork to Secaucus and get him out of here and bring Westbrook in. Because the one thing I will give Westbrook, and we saw it a little bit last year with Houston, I think he's starting to figure out who he is in this point of his career. He's not going to be a three-point shooter. He isn't a three-point shooter. But he still can get that mid-range shot off. He can still penetrate. He can still finish. He's less efficient getting to the front of the rim, but he can do it enough. That would open up Bill. That would open up Bertans if he's back. That would open up the lane for bigs. If you can get a big that can dive to the front of the rim, Thomas Bryant, someone to be able to score on putbacks, Westbrook could survive here and actually could make this team a 7 or 8 seed, depending on the other pieces Washington could get.
Well, see, that's ultimately, that is the question. I mean, he's got 3 years. He's got 3 years left on the deal. So in the next 3 years, the combination of Westbrook, Beal, you know, maybe Bertans, if he decides. I mean, look, Bertans either got to decide, do I take less money and go somewhere else, or do I take the most money and sign here. And then whatever else they can come up with, you know, Thomas Bryant showed us at least down in the bubble that, you know, maybe there's more there. There was a motivated player. Will he be motivated for 72 this coming season? That remains to be a question, but he certainly showed in the bubble he wanted to play. But is that ultimately, can it get you into that, you know, I just ran down the potential top four. If KD and Kyrie stay healthy in Brooklyn, you know they're in the top four. Miami, Boston, Milwaukee. I mean, how do you get into that group even if you get Russell Westbrook here? And as good as Bradley Beal was this past season, if he's that good or even better, is that still enough to get them into that group to where it matters?
I have a strange answer for you to that question, and it's the NBA G League. Washington is going to be one of those franchises who are going to have to figure out how to leverage the G League to get complementary pieces to try to get to that 4 and 5 spot. They're not going to be like Phoenix, who have been able to kind of draft their way there. They're going to have to develop, and Washington has to put in a structure where they can identify talent either late in the draft, guys that people have gotten rid of that are still young, get them down in D.C. for the Cap City Go-Go, and they're going to have to develop and bring those guys in. You know, I think you've been in the city long enough. I've been in the city long enough. Creating cap space, hoping that some big-time free agent come to Washington, isn't going to happen. It's never happened. And it's not going to start happening now. But the one thing about the NBA, I think we're starting to see the beginning of, is almost like Major League Baseball. You're seeing teams trying to find a different way to win other than create cap space and pray to God that some big-time free agent comes. You're seeing how Miami was built. You're seeing how Toronto was built. Those type of teams, Denver drafted well, Boston drafted well. Those type of teams are going to be what Washington has to become, or they're going to be 6, 7, 8 or out of the playoffs. And in this city where the Caps have won a title, where the Nats have come and, won a title, where the Washington football team is as frustrating as it gets, it's always going to be high on people's list. Pete, if they want to survive in this city and be relevant, they have to figure out a way to be better than 6, 7, 8, or 9.
But the problem is, if you give up assets to get Russell Westbrook in addition to John Wall, how do you get those players? I mean, how do you get those players to build that way? To build younger, a little bit cheaper, because, you know, when they first get here, they are a little bit cheaper for you. But how do you do that if you give up too many assets? I mean, we were talking earlier with Casey Kiernan. I mean, you got Milwaukee that just gave away 3 first-round picks, and there's still no guarantee they're going to keep Giannis long-term. You had Portland give 2 for Robert Covington, of all people. I mean, Robert Covington's a solid player, but he's not a difference maker. They gave up 2 first-rounders for him. So if I'm Houston sitting there going, oh, my gosh, what can I get for James Harden and Russell Westbrook? And if you say anything less than 3 first-round picks in my mind, based on what I've seen around the league, I might hang up the phone on you.
Right. I guess the way I would approach it is I would be willing to part with tonight's pick. And maybe I would put together a series of pick swaps. But I do agree with you. You cannot give up 2 and 3 picks. The idea that Milwaukee do that, and I have not understood why they do that, because their situation is much different than Washington. But it did kind of mess up the market, because now it's, well, you gave up 3 for Giroux, and Portland's giving up 2 for Robert Covington. You know, I want to get, you know, 4 or 3 for Russell Westbrook, and frankly, his bad contract. I mean, I know Washington's sending out a bad contract, but I'm telling you, they're taking back a bad contract. So maybe the first this year, maybe a pick swap for the next 2 years and a second down the road. But anything outside of that, I agree with you, is just way too much.
Yeah, the only thing that may help you there is Russell's 31. Maybe that's enough. Maybe 2 picks is enough. And quite frankly, I'll be honest with you, now that we know, you know, Okongwu's allegedly got a foot injury, you know, I don't necessarily mind if I had to give up this year's pick. I just don't like this year's draft. I mean, at least where they are, you know. I mean, if somehow I could weasel my way up to the top and get Wiseman, I love Wiseman. I think he's got a game that, you know, will be around for a while in the front court for several years in the game. I love the way the kid plays the game. But, you know, other than that, I don't really love this draft. So if I had to give up this pick, that's fine. I don't mind that. It's just a question of how much is Houston going to try and hold you hostage to make the deal.
Yeah, well, this draft, speaking of that, I can understand there's a lot of people not very excited about the draft. I mean, it's full of rim protectors, very, very good passers and floor spacers. And as you said, with the injury news, you can take that out of there. Patrick Williams and James Wiseman will more than likely be gone by the ninth pick. So you're right, Washington wouldn't lose anything by giving up their pick this year. But this comes down to Tommy Shepherd and what he has. He doesn't want to give up Bill, and everyone knows that's who basically most people want. And actually, I don't blame him. I would not give up Bill now. There's no reason to. Just like in Houston, there's really no reason to be in a rush to trade James Harden. It's really not. He has 2 years left on his deal. I can wait. I can do the same thing that New Orleans did to the Lakers and wait. So it's not a press. But Tommy Shepherd has to have some sort of plan B, plan C, some sort of plan that turns this organization around before Beal's current extension ends. Because I'm a firm believer that if Wall is still here and they're milling around 6, 7, 8, he's not signing another extension here. And then Washington puts themselves in the same position that the Thunder did a few years ago, and they'll put themselves in a position to get no compensation for Bradley Beal, and that would be catastrophic.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Speaking of the other guy in Houston, what are the chances Harden's on the move to either Philly or Brooklyn, even as soon as tonight?
I don't think he gets moved tonight. I do think he eventually gets moved to Brooklyn. But Philadelphia made a trade, I guess it was about 20, 30 minutes ago, to get some assets. They sent out Horford. And I'm just wondering – earlier today, Maury said that Philadelphia can make a big move without it involving Ben Simmons. If that's the case, we know that big move is not going to involve James Harden, because there's no way that you can get James Harden to Philadelphia without Ben Simmons. And, you know, Philly's already said they're not going to give up Joel Embiid. So I don't know where Maury is going with collecting assets to get a supposedly another significant move. I just think that Brooklyn eventually is going to buckle. And the reason why I think they'll buckle is, I think in their heart of hearts, they don't have enough, even with Kyrie and even with a healthy Kevin Durant. I don't know if they have enough to still win the East. I do think that Boston, you know, once they figure out what they're going to do with Gordon Hayward, they're going to be tough to deal with. Obviously, Miami's going to be tough to deal with. It's not a foregone conclusion, because they have two superstars, that they're even going to get to the conference finals. I think that sort of pressure will get on Brooklyn, and eventually they're going to involve a third team, or maybe a third and fourth team, and that's going to be how James Harden ends up getting to Brooklyn.
Well, we'll see. What do you make? I know Golden State allegedly was having discussions with Chicago to swap picks and a player. I guess Chicago maybe is enamored with Wiseman in some way. Do you think we see that move go tonight?
If it did, I don't understand what Golden State's doing, because they would take Carter Jr. in return. And if you ask them in an honest moment, would you rather have James Wiseman or Carter Jr., who has, you know, some effort issues, I'm sure you'd say James Wiseman, right? So I don't understand, unless there's something I'm missing, why Golden State would make that move with Chicago. There has to be more. If you want to get the two to get the Wiseman, there has to be more involved than, you know, 2 and 4, and you're giving me Carter Jr. It just doesn't make sense to me from a Golden State perspective, especially if you put Wiseman with that lineup, where he can be a screen and roll guy to dive the finish around the basket, where he can play as a rim protector. He is willing to do those two things. I know we didn't see much of him at Memphis, and I get it. But those are things that he has pretty much done throughout his small career, from high school to summer basketball to his time at Memphis. And he fits in perfect with Golden State, and he's smart enough to know that probably his game and his career in the NBA is going to be based on where he ends up. We do not have anyone in this draft that is going to be a generational player. All these guys need to end up in the right spot. And I think James Wiseman knows in his heart of hearts, if he convinces Golden State that he can do those things, he will end up on a team that instantly is going to be competitive in the West.
Yeah, no doubt about that. By the way, the Al Horford deal, do you know that Oklahoma City now, between now and 2026, 17 first-round picks and swap rights to four more? You got to love the NBA.
Yeah, and see, this is where I'm hoping that the NBA, that we're going to start seeing a change in the NBA. Collecting draft assets and creating cap space where you have 17 teams create cap space for one player does not work. It has not worked. It will not work. Unless you're taking those draft assets and you're trading them for veterans, those draft assets mean nothing. And I say that about Oklahoma City. I say that about the New Orleans Pelicans. You have got to find a way to move those picks for veterans. Veterans win in the NBA. As much as we love this night, and I'm guilty of it more than anyone else, I love draft night. I love free agency. But the truth of the matter is that if you want to win in this league, at least win in this league right now, you better have veterans. And so some of those picks need to be moved to ship so you can get a difference-making veterans, or only thing you're doing is selling your fans false hope.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Marcus Washington, our guest, MTC with Mook, making the cut. He is with us here. And look, I mean, you know, if you had to choose at the top tonight, who are you choosing?
Ooh, if I'm Minnesota, I'm going to probably take Anthony Edwards because he fits in better with the roster I have. I don't think you need with Russell up there, you don't need another guy who needs the ball in his hands. And Edwards will play off the ball. I'm not really as enamored with Anthony Edwards as other people are. Yes, he's a physical specimen. Yes, he can try to get to the rim. I question whether he can score in the NBA consistently from 17, 18, 19, 23 feet out, which is something that Minnesota needs. But LaMelo Ball does not fit there. Now, if you just said, hey, would you rather have Ball over Edwards, the answer is yes. Because the one thing LaMelo Ball does not get enough credit for is he is a very good facilitator. He will get the ball to the right spots. We are far away from the 92-point game in high school where he cherry-picked at half court and all that sort of stuff. That's not who he is. And so I think for a team to get him, if it's the right situation, he will end up being a better player. But if I'm the Timberwolves, unless I'm making a move to get rid of a guy like D'Angelo Russell, I'd probably take Edwards with the number one pick.
Marcus, as always, appreciate you, bro. Enjoy the night.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. As always, Marcus Washington, great guest, great guy to talk hoops with, both pro and college here in the area. Not many people see as many games as he does of both around the area. That's going to do it for us today. Our thanks, as always, to Landfill and Brock. They do all the hard work, make it easy for me. I'm back with you again Friday at 2 o'clock. Friday at 2 o'clock right here on The Fan. I'm off to Rosecroft for 14 big ones tonight. You all be safe out there. We'll talk again on Friday right here on Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.